Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and today I'm joined by three very special guests, and we'll be talking about something that is very special to me. I mean, it's spectacular. No, really, that's the name of the senior high youth camp that Graceland University hosts every summer. We call it spectacular because, at least for me, this camp was and continues to be spectacular. Being a camper at Spec was the best 3 weeks of my life. And being able to work with these amazing leaders and be part of the Spec staff has filled my heart and soul with so much love and joy. It is truly an amazing week. So thank you so much for being on the podcast, Jamie, Jen, and Doug, the directors of Spectacular. I am so happy to talk to you about what a wonderful week and experience Spectacular is. So thank you so much for being on.
Hey, Carla. We're glad to be here.
Hi, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
We have Jamie Barbero, Jen Kilpack, and Doug Roberts all on the podcast with us. Let's start off by introducing yourselves. Jamie, why don't you go first?
Okay. My name is Jamie Barbero. I'm one of the, obviously, we know the three directors of SPEC, and I live in Columbia, Missouri, make the trek up to Lamoni, Iowa every summer, that last full week in July when we all head to Graceland.
Jen, how about you?
Hi, I'm Jen Kilpack, and I grew up in Washington, D.C. I'm a transplant to the Midwest and live in Kansas City with my family. Married to Dave Kilpack, and we have three kids, Jillian, Lainey, and Colston. They keep us busy and keep our life exciting and fun. I am slightly addicted to coffee. I enjoy every part of making, brewing, smelling, drinking it. I am super excited about Spec this summer, especially because it's international year.
Ooh, yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So it's about every 4 years, we open Spectacular up to our international church family because every 4 years, International Youth Forum leads into Spectacular. So this year it's 2 days prior to Spec. Kids from and leaders from Australia, British Isles, Europe, Pacific Islands, and French Polynesia will be joining those of us in the U.S. and Canada who regularly attend Spec, and we'll all join together for International Youth Forum at the Temple in Independence, Missouri, and then everyone will make the trek up to Lamoni, and we'll spend a week together at Spectacular.
Ah, I love that. I'm so excited about IYF and Spec. And Doug, before you introduce yourself, I'm just going to give a little vignette. I remember when I was working with Australia, I had lived in Australia for a year, and I'd always gotten asked the question, what does a skunk smell like? Because they like watch American TV and see like the skunk smell really bad, and they don't have skunks in Australia. So I remember after IYF getting in the bus and driving up to Lamoni, and we drove through a skunk smell. And so I said, oh my gosh, everybody, this is what a skunk smells like. And the whole bus on the way up in this yellow school bus goes, and they all go and did this really deep smell. And they're like, ew, it's so gross. I'm like, I know. And so what I'm trying to say is that the experiences reach far and wide for people who are coming into Independence and into Lamoni. Doug, tell us about you.
I'm Doug Roberts. I was born and raised in Independence, Missouri. Spent 5 years living in San Francisco and 3 years in Hawaii. And 6.5-ish years ago, returned to the Kansas City area. I'm married, happily married, and a father to an 8-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter who are just the sparks of life. I love sports. I like to talk about sports. I like to play sports. I like to take other topics and make them about sports. That's what I do. It's something that I really enjoy and I'm passionate about. So coaching, playing, watching, cheering, all hobbies of mine.
And I'm sure that your wife will be really happy to hear that you're happily married, not just married.
I'm sure she will too.
I'm sure she will. So thank you for introducing yourselves. Now that we know you a little bit better, why don't you tell us what Spectacular is? Many people listening will now know that it's a week-long church camp at Graceland University in Lamoni, Iowa. But what is Spectacular?
Well, I guess I'll jump in on that one. I mean, and I think, Carla, you already alluded to this in your introduction. I mean, Spectacular is just that. It is just this spectacular experience that happens. You know, it's a week-long experience on the campus of Graceland University where we have an opportunity to share together in community. I mean, that is really at the foundation of what we're about, to where it's a safe place for a number of youth to come together and participate in everything from worship experiences to classes of all different types, whether they're topical classes or they're, you know, get in there and learn how to play the guitar or how to throw a pot, you know, in pottery, or compete in sports, and then all the amazing activities that we have, you know, happening all week long. We have a lot of visitors that come, you know, from a lot of different areas that come and add to the program, whether they're coming to speak, brought them in to speak or to entertain or whatever. And we hear again and again and again, this is like nothing we've ever seen. I think one of the biggest things that is going for us is we are totally open to, if somebody wants to steal our idea and duplicate what's happening, if we're reaching and touching more lives of youth, that's what it's all about.
Jen, Doug, what does Spectacular mean to you?
I was thinking about this the other day. I've been doing a lot of reading about church history in my seminary class. And I think, as cheesy, like, this sounds really ridiculous, kind of. But for me, Spectacular is like the closest thing that, as a church, I think that we do and promote and participate in that captures kind of like the essence of what people wish Zion was like. That sounds like kind of crazy. But when you think about Spectacular, it's a week where people come together and we're doing that in, like Jamie said, forming a sacred community of people who are caring for each other, who are learning about themselves and learning about God and learning about others. It's just opening our horizons and making us better people. And on the flip side of that, the staff that come are like incredibly dedicated. These people give up like a week of their vacation time. They come and they share out of their own passion. So whether it's art or music or sports or worship, those people are sharing out of their giftedness, and their what they bring is just so much more amplified and greater because they love it so much. And that love for the subject that they are teaching or facilitating or sharing is captivating for everyone, because when you share out of your passion or out of your giftedness, it transforms the experience.
Doug, what does it mean to you?
To me, spec is more than sports and more than art and more than music and more than leadership opportunities and worship opportunities. To me, spec is a place where kids can come and where kids belong, and where kids are welcomed freely for who they are, with all the stuff that's happening in their world, the good stuff and the bad stuff and the challenging stuff and the struggles and the joys. That's the essence of Spec. You know, Jamie and Jen touched on it. It's a sacred community, but really it's a place where kids can go and belong. And I think in today's world, kids go through a lot of struggles, and they're different struggles than I went through. They're different struggles than our staff, our older staff went through. And we don't always know what those places are, but this is a place where kids can come and hopefully be themselves and be vulnerable to be themselves, the authentic human beings that they are, and know that there are people who care about them and who love them and who want them to also grow and challenge themselves and see the world a different way, and experience relationship in ways that maybe they haven't before by listening to people and sharing their story and connecting with people. And so to me, Spec is, that's the essence of Spec.
I can resonate with everything that you said. For me, I first got involved with Spec when I was a camper, and I don't know if that's true for each of you either. So how did you all first get involved with Spectacular? What was your introduction to it? And let's start with Doug.
The first time I ever experienced Spec, I have an older brother who's 2 years older than me, and I was just a visitor. That was my first experience at Spec. And so I'd heard about it. I grew up in the RLDS Church, which is now the Community of Christ. So I grew up hearing about Spec, and when living in Independence when IYF would happen and the international spec would happen, our family would host people from other countries and other parts of the United States. And so my first experience with it was having these strangers come to my house and stay there for days on end. And I would hear their stories when they came back at night. And then as a kid going up to Graceland to spec to watch a game on Friday or to watch them sing or watch them, you know, play in their instrument, do whatever they were doing. And then I really experienced it as a high schooler. I went to spec 3 years as a camper, and just absolutely loved it and had a ball. And then I got started serving at spec on staff as a referee. I would referee basketball games, 8, 9, 10 basketball games a day. And that was how my spec journey on staff started.
Jen, what about you?
My parents were delegation leaders from the Washington, D.C. area. So my first experience with spec was actually as a freshman. I got to go, but I didn't get to participate because I wasn't quite old enough. Back in the day, you had to finish your sophomore or 10th grade year before you came to spec. Recently we changed that. So now once you've finished 9th grade, you can attend. But anyway, so I started out as a camper and went all 1 year kind of as the honorary cheerleader and then 3 years as a camper. And after that, went to college, came down, started working for the church a couple of years after I graduated. And Susan Naylor, one of the previous directors, was boss. And 1 year she said, would you like to come to spec and take some photos? We'd like to have someone take pictures and maybe post them online and stuff. So early 2000s, probably, I think I came up and took photos for a couple of years. And then as I had kids, I took a break from that. And then she asked me again, she said, you know, we're looking for someone who might be willing to take on responsibility for all the elective classes. That's like kind of all the art and leadership and a lot of music classes. And she said, I think you'd be really good at that. And I thought, I guess I can try it. I did. And I kept coming up with these ideas and they kept saying, yeah, that sounds great. Just go for it. Yep. Yep. Yes, of course. Yes. Let's try it. And so it kind of took off from there. And then I think I became one of the directors in 2011, I think, was my first year on the director team. So for me anyway, that journey has been one of continual pushing the boundaries and take calculated, wise risks and just working with people who are creative and that are always willing to like say, yes, let's try it. And if it fails, well, oh well, we won't do that again. And but being open to whatever. I love that part about the leadership team, not just Jamie and Doug, but the whole planning team.
Thanks, Jen. And Jamie, what about you? How did you first get involved with Spectacular?
Oh gosh, I guess in my intro, you know, I said I live here in Columbia, Missouri, but I grew up in Northern California. As a youth out in the Bay Area, I never made my way out here as a camper at Spec. I ended up coming and was a student at Graceland, and then ended up here, staying here in the Midwest, and got involved with on delegation staff. And what delegations are, they're representative of the geographical area that you come from, as far as, you know, your kids that are coming to participate in Spec. And so I was a basketball coach for our delegation and loved it and just kept coming back for a number of years, and then had an opportunity, much like what Jen shared about Susan. Both Susan and Steve Dimmitt were one of three directors at the time, and they had approached me about being on the worship team, which I think we'll probably talk more about here in a little bit. But one of the significant things that drew me to taking on that responsibility is how we've moved our worship experiences to be just really camper-led, camper-driven. And when we're talking about having staff that act as facilitators to this team, we are exactly that. We're just resources, cheerleaders, that type of thing, because these kids are just phenomenal when they come up with the ideas for worship experiences. It's like incredible. I did that for a number of years. It was myself and Scott Giles and Lisa Williams, and then had an opportunity, was invited to be one of three directors, and now I am where we are now with myself and Jen and Doug, and still loving the experience every year.
Even in the heat and the humidity of Lamoni, Iowa in late July, it is still worth it, isn't it?
What heat and humidity?
Oh, exactly. It's nothing. It's only 99% every day. So, Jamie, since I have you going right now, I think I'd be remiss in asking you what is like a daily schedule like, you know, because there might be people listening on here that have never experienced Spectacular, have never been to that camp. So what happens like in a regular day at Spectacular?
Well, you know, as we get, you know, usually the opening weekend is a little different schedule-wise, but when we really start getting into the routine, we have breakfast begins at 7:30. One thing that Doug and Jen and I will always remind you, especially early in the week, there will be a line for breakfast. And so we kind of joke about that because, you know, there's always these huge lines early for breakfast at the beginning of the week, and then you can like walk right in later in the week because everybody's sleeping in, you know, and that type of thing. But it's breakfast. It's what we call celebration, which is our morning worship experience as a group. We, you know, it's a camp-wide experience in the gym. You know, then we have, you know, classes in the morning, both our, what we call our Spec Today classes, which are themed classes. And then they can move on to their adventure classes, which are more elective based and are either topical or hands-on type of experiences. Then they start moving into their sports. There's also the sports involvement. There's also a play that oftentimes a musical that the campers that are kind of that enjoy, you know, performing arts like that have an opportunity to rehearse something that they rehearse all week and then perform late in the week. So that's going on as well. There's other elective opportunities in the afternoons besides sports. And then there's Quiz Bowl. And then there's evening programming. Sometimes it's Chip. Sometimes it's a comedian or a magician or a movie. Sometimes there's always, but the one thing that we always guarantee is it's always something spectacular is going on. We've been known to throw some huge fireworks up in the sky or some Chinese lanterns happen to fly sometimes or some really spectacular things that happen each and every day.
Yeah. And it's such a huge production because we're talking about 800 kids, 800 campers. Is that too many or what?
No,
approximately?
Yeah. Between 800 and 900 with an IYF year, we could be approaching 1,000. So
it's a really big deal and it takes a lot of effort. I know you guys plan like all year long for this. Is that right?
Yes, we do.
We're meeting off and on all year in person, webcasts, web chats, emails, texts, you name it, we communicate that way.
One of my sayings is that those things that are meaningfully planned are meaningful. So I appreciate you working an entire year, getting this week ready. So while you're working through that for the year, what are some of your goals for Spec? Like, what do you hope campers will get out of it and take back home with them after that week?
I think over the last couple of years, we've been more intentional about trying to equip our campers with some really practical tools. And a lot of that happens like around the theme. So this year we're talking about story. And so helping kids learn how to tell their own story and being aware of other people's stories. So just helping them kind of build a toolkit of skills and experiences that can be translated into their home communities and schools. Doug, I can't remember last year at Spec, the kid who started a free listening day at his school. Do you remember what delegation he was from?
I do not.
I don't either. Ugh. Anyway, so an example of, you know, things that you can do. So an example of one of the things that we kind of show at Spec and then kids can take home with them. Benjamin Mathis, the founder of Urban Confessional, the listening project, came to Spec and he was a guest speaker and he did some afternoon sessions in a class. And one of the kids that participated in that was just really captured by it. And when he went home, he started a free listening project at his school. And the news actually did a story on him and like asked him why he was doing this. And he talked about Spec and how just important it was to let people know that someone cares and that someone will listen. So we were able to show that this year at SPEC, and Benjamin was able to see it too. And it was so cool to see that application. So you take this experience, and it's not just 1 week. We hope it would be longer than 1 week, but you know, helping people figure out a way to make that experience live longer is one of the things that I think I'm always looking for.
That is an awesome story. How cool. I mean, it's changing lives. It's life changing. Jamie, Doug, what about you two? What are your goals for SPEC, or what are your goals as a group?
One of my goals, and I know one of our shared goals for SPEC, is to help kids encounter the divine. And often we think of encountering God or encountering the divine or whatever name you give it as like this mountaintop, over the moon, spiritual awakening sort of experience. I personally believe that there are opportunities to encounter the divine every day, all the time, limitless amounts. And I think for kids, one of the things we do and a goal that we constantly have, one of our whys that we do SPEC, is to help kids be aware of the presence of the divine and their relationships with one another when they're drawing, when they're singing, when they're singing by themselves, when they're singing with a group, when they're playing sports, when they're participating in some activity that brings them joy and something that they love to do and that is an experience they're sharing with people in community. I know for us a big goal is when we create our programming and the what are we doing and how are we doing things, I know a lot of, for me, what drives those decisions is this a way a kid could encounter the divine? And then when that happens, do we name it? And we do name it. We are very intentional. You know, if I'm refereeing a basketball game, and I see in a heated basketball game, you know, emotions get high, tempers can flare. As an official, I'm often wrong. Kids will let me know I'm wrong. But it creates a teachable moment. And it creates an opportunity to learn how to respect other people when we disagree, to learn how to work together to create that experience of a game, talking points. Creating those moments for kids to encounter the divine is one of my top priorities for sure. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, with what Doug and Jen have already shared, some of my reasoning as well. And I think when you first asked the question, Carla, one of the first things that came to mind was just something really simple. And it's not deep, and it's about making memories, because that provides foundation. There's something that I've seen happen again and again. They've had an experience, whether it's this hugely significant experience or simply the fact that they, like Doug has said several times, which I just wholeheartedly believe in, they've experienced a place where they truly feel like they belong, create something in their minds and in their heart that hopefully carries them past spectacular into their college years and into their years of moving into their professions and other opportunities that they'll have in their life. But we're hoping that something significant happened at their spectacular experience, if you will. And the other thing that's for me as a leadership team, we just never really sit back and say, oh, this, you know, even though we'll go year after year and say, man, this was just a great year. It's never enough. We're always looking for ways to improve, to freshen things, to realize that there are other things and other ways that we can be providing ministry and experience for these kids.
Thanks for that. Jamie, you reminded me of a story that I have about my SPEC experience and how it was truly life-changing. When I was a junior in grade 11 at SPEC, I was playing all four of the major sports. And at that point, you're only supposed to be playing two. So the sports that happened there, the team sports at least, are basketball, volleyball, softball, and soccer. And you're supposed to choose two of them. And I chose all four, and my leader let me choose all four. And so I was playing all four. And this woman came up to me like on Wednesday of SPEC, and she said, you're not supposed to be playing all four major sports. You need to cut it back to two. And I was like, whatever, lady. So I didn't do it. And fast forward 6 years later, and that woman interviewed me for my very first real job. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she goes, you played all four major sports at Spectacular. I'm like, I did. I did. And I got hired for that job. So spec is life changing.
There you go.
That only happens in Independence, Missouri, though, of course. Spec is life changing for sure. You guys are involved with so many different parts and aspects of Spectacular. I know you plan, you just spend so much time planning. What activity at Spec would you say always needs to be a part of what Spec is? So what is one of the most important activities of Spec for you?
Oh, that's not really fair.
Oh, I'm a very serious host. Very serious.
Okay, so I'm going to pick mine, and I'm guessing that Jamie and Doug will have different opinions. I would pick Spec Today, because that for me is, I mean, well, that's kind of where I came up from, I guess, or came through. Spec Today is our theme class, and it's evolved over the years into kind of what it is today. We've split delegations up and mixed them all together and then break out into sometimes like up to 10 small, I say small, but like 10 groups of, you know, 75 to 90 campers. And then each day those kids get together and with facilitators explore and unpack the daily theme. So for me, that piece, if I have to pick one, that's the one that I would pick, because what we do in those classes then kind of informs and sets the tone for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And the kids and the campers, I mean, really get to like dive deep into what that theme is and what it means, what we're trying to get across that day. Otherwise, you know, in a gym full of 1,000 kids, you might be able to check out and not be able to, and be able just to walk away without learning anything. But in those, in that group, you kind of have to listen and participate. So I really, I love Spec Today too, Jen. I'm on your side.
Thanks.
Doug, Jamie, what event or what activity would do, has to be part of Spec?
I'll speak for everyone. Worship would be another one for me. Yeah. So worship would be another piece that's really important to me, that morning celebration. Partly because it leads right into Spec Today. What we do in worship in the morning and what the campers plan and bring around the theme then kind of sets the stage for the Spec Today class, which we'd then dive deeper into the theme, which then carries on the rest of the day. Those would be my two.
I think, Jen, I'll follow you on that one, because the big group experiences have significant meaning for me as far as, I would say, one of my most important parts of Spec. Whether it's in celebration, like you just talked about, or whether it's our Tuesday evening worship or our communion service on Thursday night, there are some, like you've already mentioned, Carla, you know, 1,000 kids and 200 staff. So you've got all these people there, and you would think that there are significant times every time in those experiences where you can just feel this spirit that is like nothing you've ever experienced. It's always unique. You can just tell when the kids are locked in and it's meaningful. So I'm the big group. Worship is for me.
And now we're back to me.
Yes, sir.
Say sports. I know you want to. And you have a really great reason for why that's so important.
I do? No.
Oh my gosh. Yes, of course you do.
I'm going to say sports. As I said earlier, in the intro part, I love sports. Grew up playing sports. I have an older and a younger brother, and there was nothing we couldn't turn into a competition. So for me, it is sports. And for me, it's connecting sports to something bigger than the sport. For me, it's reframing, helping kids reframe the way they view competition. It's helping reframe the way they look at their effort and taking a look at what they're doing and how they're playing. And instead of measuring their worth based on whether they won or they lost, it's measuring their performance on how did they play versus what they were capable of and what their potential is, or how did they play in relation to what their goal was. Because some of our campers come to Spec to play in these team sports, and it truly could is an opportunity for them to simply have fun. For some of the kids who are elite level athletes, they are away from their private coaches, their club coaches, they're away from their parents. And, you know, I've had kids tell me this: when I get to play sports at Spec, it's fun again, which is disturbing and frightening for me. But I'm also happy that we created an environment for a kid to remember why they like to play sports. And I also like sports because we have a lot of kids that don't play sports anymore. In our culture today, I believe kids are told way too early they're not good enough, and they're excluded from playing sports, and they miss out on all the great benefits of being part of a team. So I also love the sports aspect because a lot of these kids, they get to experience what it's like to be on a team and to have other people depend on them, have them depend on other people, and to be a part of a group that's different when they're not there, and to maybe challenge themselves to use their body in a way that they're not used to or uncomfortable with, and to challenge themselves to try something new and different where you might look kind of silly doing it, or you might fail, or you might fail a lot, and to create an environment and a community that just lifts them up for who they are and that praises them and rewards them for the effort that they're putting out there. And so we've talked about, Carla, you mentioned the team sports that we have, that there's basketball, volleyball, soccer, and softball. The one thing you didn't mention is we have different tiers. So there are four different levels of these sports, two in soccer and two in softball, four levels in basketball and volleyball that match up to kids' skill level and experience level. So it's not like a kid who's never played soccer is playing against a kid that's been on a traveling team for 10 years and has a college scholarship. So we put them at levels that they're appropriate for their experience and their skill level in the hopes that they get to experience some success in the sport and have fun playing it. So yeah, for me, I can't envision a spec without sport of some kind.
I told you your answer would be phenomenal.
I know. I had to get going on myself.
It's a good one.
It was a really good answer. And I absolutely agree with that answer too. Spec and sports are super important to me. A lot of people who might be listening to this podcast will think that it's really interesting that a lot of the World Church Leadership Council from Community of Christ, involving members of the First Presidency, the Council of 12, and the Presiding Bishopric, are involved with Spectacular. I've mentioned before on this podcast that I live in Salt Lake City, and the dominant religion out here would probably never send leaders of that caliber or general authorities to a senior high youth camp to talk to kids. So how involved are the members of the First Presidency, the Council of 12, and the Presiding Bishop? Do they hang out in their rooms and never talk to kids, or are they out there doing what they want to do and hanging out cheering? What do they do? Like, what are they doing there?
Here's the thing that I love about their involvement is because they definitely come to be present with the kids, and the kids understand who they are if they don't know who they are, because obviously we have a lot of kids that aren't necessarily exposed to the leadership, but once they know a name, but they don't have a face to it. And so usually in other world church environments, church leadership is busy doing other things, or have, yeah, I'll say it, a bunch of adults that are sucking up their time, you know, their spare time, where our staff at Spec is very good about allowing the kids to interconnect with the World Church Leadership Council members. And so, you know, how cool is it that, you know, sometimes I'll walk out of the swarm in the coffee shop at Graceland, and there's Steve Veazey, you know, President Steve Veazey, sitting there with a couple of kids just talking. And it's significant. It really is. And the kids understand that there's opportunity for that leadership team to also be in like forum type environments where they can, aside from just having where they're sitting down with one or two kids, there's opportunity in class environments where they can ask and discuss pertinent questions dealing with the church. So it's like way cool.
Yeah. I would jump in and say that probably the last 4 or 5 years, unless there's some travel conflict, President Veazey and usually one or two of the other members of the presidency have been at Spec and have hosted a class during kind of our adventure or elective time. And kind of what Jamie was saying, that open forum where they're pretty much willing to entertain whatever questions the kids bring. Like there's no agenda. They are just, it's just a dialogue. And sometimes the kids ask hard questions and they're honest about, sometimes we don't have an answer for this right now, but it's something that we're discussing, or, you know, that's a good point or whatever. But just that, the opportunity to ask those kind of questions to the leader of your church is, it's even still, like, sometimes I'm like, wow, that's really amazing. The other thing I love is that, especially the Council of 12 Apostles, they typically try to, like, link up with delegations that are geographically aligned with their mission fields. So they get a chance to reconnect sometimes with kids they've seen from the summer, from some of their reunion or camp travels earlier in the summer. And it's just fun to see them cheering at games and participating in classes. And also, it's really nice sometimes, I think, for them not to have to be the main one providing ministry, where it's like that very public kind of ministry. This is a much more interpersonal kind of ministry opportunity for them, which I think sometimes they don't always get. So I think that's really cool, too.
Yeah, I would just like to echo what, you know, Jamie and Jen said, that there's a high level of involvement from the First Presidency and members of the Council of 12 and presiding bishopric. And it's really a blessing. It's a huge blessing to have their presence at SPEC. And quite frankly, the most difficult thing we have to do is tell some of the staff, remember, they're not here for you this week. They are here to engage and interact with the kids. And it's reminding adults, like, you got to take a back seat, because members of the Council of 12, we all eat in the same dining hall. And there are oftentimes they'll be sitting down at a table and kids walk over and sit with them and strike up a conversation with them. And perhaps they're talking about church-related issues, but I've overheard stories about football. I've overheard stories about musical interests or favorite bands, or if they've seen the latest movie and what they thought about it. And so there really is a connection being made, people-to-people connection, that is pretty amazing, that the Council of 12 and the church leadership puts themselves in a position to connect with the youth and the whole generation of kids that are the up and coming generation of our church.
Oh, that is a really beautiful part, I think, of SPEC. And it really speaks to our enduring principle, the blessings of community. In fact, Doug, I've experienced the same thing you're just talking about. And then maybe that member of the First Presidency will get up and leave and go somewhere else. And then I'll sit with that kid. I'm like, do you know who that person was? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, that's President Steve Easy, the president of the church. They're like, what? It feels like the World Church Leadership Council is just very humble. And so they just really want to be involved with kids' lives, which I think is just so special. And I think part of what makes SPEC so special, even me, a boring old minister for Community of Christ, I recognize that walking into the dining hall and not knowing where I'm going to sit, even though it's full, and then just finding a place at any table and sitting and striking up a conversation is something that is so completely normal at Spectacular, and something that is just, it just happens, and you get to meet the most incredible people that way. So I mean, that community aspect is, I don't think it can be overstated about Spectacular.
No, and they sit in the same bleachers. Again, they eat in the same dining hall. They sweat in the same hot and humid air and cheer on the sidelines.
There it is. Yeah.
It's awesome.
It is pretty awesome. Okay, well, we're coming to a bit of the close of our podcast, but I have at least one more question for you. Where do you three see SPEC going in the future? What is your dream for SPEC? Like, if you could dream something and make it happen, what would that dream be?
I think it's happening now, Carla. I think that when Jen and Doug and I get together and our entire SPEC committee, you know, oftentimes we understand that we're standing on the shoulders of giants, that people will often say, you know, oh, you guys do such a great job and that type of thing. But I think it's because we have all these other people that help staff the experience, whether it's delegation staff or sports staff or whatever that is. But then it's also the kids. So Spectacular is not just an experience that's created for the campers or for the kids. Spectacular is an experience created by these kids. And as long as that continues to happen and evolve, there's no limit to what Spectacular will continue to grow and to be. That's my two cents.
Yeah, I think if I had a dream for Spectacular, in addition to Jamie's, because that's a really good one, I would love for us to be able to figure out a way to have a spring and fall mini spec experience. Not traveling, of course, to Lamoni, but somehow creating a space or a time for campers to come together, maybe geographically more centralized, but somehow to create that mini experience so it kind of grows beyond the 1 week, or it doesn't put the entire burden of carrying that week on at home on the individual. So I would love for us to figure out a way to do that. And then kind of along the lines with what Jamie said, how I see spec going into the future, I think our job as directors and as the planning committee is to continue looking for people who are dedicated to making spec phenomenal and then developing those leaders, because those people are the ones who are going to eventually take our place and continue this amazing experience. So growing leaders is, I think, one of our big jobs.
You say, where do you see spec going? I see it going, I don't want to say the exact same way it is, but I see the process happening similar to what it is now, where we're, as a collective group of the leadership group, we're aware of trends and movements in society and things that are coming at high school age kids. And what can we do as adults to help provide them a space, a community? And what can we do to help them meet the world that's coming at them? And it takes a lot of us listening and adapting. This will be my fourth year being one of the co-directors. And I think every year we have changed our schedule a little bit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to me, that's a reflection of what's working and what's not working and where can we improve and how can we adapt and modify to meet the needs of the campers and the people coming to spec. And I love what Jamie said. Spec is really by the kids. You know, he nailed it with that one. My dream for spec, gosh, as we've had the ability to grow and offer more programming and add more classes, we have added them. And some of them have been huge hits. We have a quiz bowl competition. I think last year we had 53 or 4 teams on quiz bowl, and that's 3 or 4 kids on a team. You know, this year we've been approached about doing some of the esports and the online gaming stuff, and we're going to give it a try because there's a population of our kids that love that sort of gaming. And so my dream is just to continue taking these ideas that come at us and seeing things that spark inspiration and saying, how does that fit into spec? How can we weave this into spec? What can we do to make this relevant, share this with our community?
That's awesome. I am so grateful to all three of you for not only being on this podcast, but for giving so much of your time and your talent to directing a camp that I think means a lot to a lot of different people. As we come to the close of this podcast, I wanted to give you just one more chance. If you wished I would have asked you a question and I didn't ask, or if you just want to say one more thing, you can take it away. It's all yours. Does anybody else have anything else they want to say?
I'll jump in real fast. I see you had a question up there about how spec got started, and I don't know that we touched on that. So
we didn't. Do you want to talk about it?
A limited history, but yeah, I can just share my 2 cents. This summer, 2018, will be Spec's 50th anniversary.
It will? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 50 years of Spectacular. And Spectacular started, it was called Sports Spectacular, and it started in Independence on what used to be the campus as a volleyball camp. So Sports Spectacular originated as a volleyball camp. It happened in Independence for a couple of years. And then those that were leading at the time had this vision of taking it to Graceland, and it's been expanding ever since then. And as the facilities at Graceland have improved and modified, and we have taken those spaces and we use the entire campus at Graceland University, from the art buildings to the performing art buildings, the fine art buildings, pretty much every place they can put a field or a court, we use it. We use the outdoor track. We use the whole quad. I mean, we had a Ferris wheel a few years ago. There's just nothing is off limits, but Spec started as a volleyball camp.
I can't believe it's 50 years old. I'm pretty sure that I got a t-shirt when it was 25 years old. I'm pretty sure I was a camper when it was 25 years old. Wow, 50 years. That's amazing. Thank you, Doug, for that. Jamie or Jen, any other final thoughts?
I would just say if you have kids who are in high school and they are thinking about coming, encourage them to come. It is an amazing experience. They will never regret coming to participate in.
Good one. Good one. And if you're a young adult and, you know, you're just thinking, you know, I think I finally have some time, maybe in our crazy schedule between work and kids and everything else, that maybe we could maybe we can look into whether there might be some staff needs at Spectacular. We love young adults, and we'd love you to seek us out and see if there's a place that we could find for you.
Absolutely. There's definitely a place at the table for everybody who wants to come, it sounds like. So Thank you again, Jamie and Jen and Doug, for your willingness to serve, your willingness to be on this podcast, and for just talking to us about how important it is. I really appreciate you being on here.
And by the way, we love Carla.
Oh, that's so true. You do.
Yes, we do.
Of course. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was wonderful to talk to you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use. And while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.